Folks, trust that you could get something from the Lord's Word tonight. And I know I have. And I know the Lord's Word speaks to us every time we open the Scriptures. For in this we find eternal life. In these Scriptures, we have the very words of the living God. And I wish to proclaim them tonight. I'm humbled. And I'm privileged tonight to be able to share this word with you tonight. He was born to die. Our Savior was born to die. Let's ask God's help. Lord, I come to you tonight with an open heart and I want to learn from you. Lord Jesus, you said to come and to learn of you, for you're meek and you're humble in heart. And today we pray that we could come as those shepherds came. We could come, Lord, as those wise men came and give you back the honor and glory that is due your name. And I pray that you would open the Scriptures to us tonight as we look into your word, into the perfect words of the living God. I pray that you would speak to the hearts that are here tonight and magnify yourself above every other name. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're singing tonight, and the gospel was certainly sung. The gospel was sung tonight, and in the Scriptures that we read already, the birth of the Messiah was proclaimed, a king that would come and would ultimately pay the greatest penalty that anyone could pay, and that is to take upon himself the sin of the whole world. And it is amazing that this sacrifice was prepared before the foundation of the world. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 20 we read that he, the Christ, was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Peter's writing to the body of Christ at this time, and he says that this sacrifice was prepared before the foundation of the world. That is amazing. Consider that. Consider an unborn child. Consider one who is in the splendor of heaven with the Father. He is sent down and prepared for burial. And so the message of the birth of Christ and the death of Christ are ever interlinked. And Peter explained that to the early church, to the early Christians. And he said in these last times, he is manifest or he is revealed to you. And even to us tonight, by his Spirit, he's revealed in this world, in this day and generation, to those who will come with a meek and honest heart and call out to him. John writes also in John 1:14 that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He was revealed. He was made manifest. The one who was prepared before the foundation of the world had a starting point. And it was here that he came, 2,000 years ago, to dwell amongst us, mere mortals, sinners. And he came and he left that splendor of heaven. And he came down for you. And the Word was made flesh. The very Word tonight that we can read in your Bibles. The Word, who is Christ, became flesh. Took on the nature of human beings. And he dwelt among us. He came. We read of those swaddling clothes. We sung of that manger. And he came. And he grew and he dwelt among mere mortals. And John says that we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father. Full of grace and full of truth. That's incredible love, friends. That's incredible love to you and to me tonight. And it was the Father and his love for us that gave that great sacrifice, that that child should be born into this world and to go to the humblest of humblest and to be born in the smallest town and to be born in such a mean estate. And he came down because of love. What love? It was the Father that gave his only begotten Son. And this Son, he revealed the Father. Jesus Christ revealed God the Father. John writes to us again in John 1:18. He says that no man has seen God at any time. Now, if you and I stood before God face to face, there would be nothing left. He shines brighter than the sun. And so no one has seen him face to face and lived. But the only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, who was in the bosom of the Father, who was in the nearest place, he has declared him, John says. He has declared him. John says to us, and the words echo down the corridor of time. He has declared him. Jesus Christ declared his Father, God the Father. And in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. You know, that second birth that we sung about, that second Adam that came down, Jesus Christ, can give you a second birth tonight. If you come to him with an open heart, he can give you a second birth and you'll become alive, alive in him. Not just flesh and blood, but you will live in the very innermost parts of your being. You'll have the life of Christ in you. He extends his welcome to you. He says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, whoever, no exceptions to the rule, whosoever will believe in him will not perish but have everlasting life. This was this amazing package prepared before the foundation of the earth that was wrapped in swaddling clothes. Oh, fair friends, it's not tradition tonight to come to a carol service. There is power. There is power in the blood. There is power in the coming of Christ. And it's available to you tonight. So he came and he declared the Father. And John and Peter declare him to us today. You know, the Son came through a miraculous conception. It was through an amazing set of circumstances, never before known. In Luke chapter 1, we read of this, where Mary stood face to face to an angel. And in Luke 1 and 26, we read these words. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. But when she saw him, she was troubled at this saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Then Mary said to the angel, how can this be, since I do not know a man? And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One, which is to be born, will be called the Son of God. The angel said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Nicodemus, when he sat with Jesus on the roof of his house, he didn't understand, though he was a teacher in Israel, he did not understand this. And you know, flesh and blood cannot reveal this. But in the coming of Christ, in the very incarnation and the coming of the Holy Spirit into the womb of a virgin, The man-child is born in the same way, friends. New birth occurs in the human heart when the Holy Spirit puts that same seed in you and in I. And by that same Spirit and by that same power, we can be raised to new life. And Nicodemus asked and said, how can I enter again into my mother's womb? We read of that in John chapter 3 in the discourse that Nicodemus had with Jesus. And the man came to Jesus by night, we read, and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher come from God. No one can do these signs that you do unless God is with them. But Jesus answers and said to him, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You know, this is not vain tradition tonight. Friends, this is a reality. That birth can take place in your heart if you receive him by faith. You receive that gift by faith. And Jesus said, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus says, how can a man be born when he is old? Can I enter a second time into my mother's womb? But Jesus answered and said, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Friends, just as that miracle took place, that incarnation and that virgin birth, that same life can come into your dead being today. Because if you're just flesh and blood and do not have the Spirit of God inside you, you're like Nicodemus saying, how can this be possible? How can this be real? But Jesus says to us today, it can be real. Marvel not that I say to you, you must be born again. You know, friends, today we haven't followed cunningly devised fables. Peter says in 2 Peter 1:16, we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Do you know what I feel like doing at Christmas, to be honest, very honest with you? I feel like going to the desert with my Bible. Because in the frivolity and madness of this season, you can miss him so easily. You can miss him, and I'm just not talking about, you know, coming here tonight or coming to another carols event or singing at this time or undertaking all the Christian festivities. But I say of true escape from the frivolity of this season and this time and knowing Jesus Christ personally and intimately. Peter says, you know, these are not cunningly devised fables. This is reality. When I preached to you, Peter said, I made known to you the power and coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I was eyewitness. You know, the early disciples, they were eyewitnesses of his majesty. But there were some among them who did not see him. And today, though we do not see with human eyes, if you open your heart to him, he will declare himself to you. He will reveal himself to you. John writes further, 1 John 5:10, that he that believes on the Son of God has the witness in himself. He that believes not God has made him a liar because he believed not the record that God gave of his Son. Friends, these are not cunningly devised fables. This time of Christmas is a reality in the heart and life of the one who is born from above. You know, there's a real warning in that, in John. He says that he that believes on the Son of God has the witness in himself. I trust and I pray that that's you tonight. But he that believes not God has made him out to be a liar. God forbid that one in here one person in here should be of that inclination and should not believe. Because you know, it's not what I preach to you tonight, and it's not what the apostles so much preached, but God Himself. Ultimately, it's God, ultimately, who declares His own Son. He declares His own Son. He was born to die on Calvary. He was born to die. He was prepared from the foundation of the earth to die for you in your place. I pray that there would be no unbelieving heart in here tonight, but that you would open your heart to Him and believe God's own record of His Son. John writes in 3 John 3:18 that he that believes on Him is not condemned. Oh, I pray that that's you today. That you believe on Him and are not condemned. But he that believes not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Friends, there is immense joy in knowing Christ. And there is immense joy at this time and this season as we sing His praises, as we honor Him. Don't get caught up. Don't get taken up. Run away to a desert place. Run away to a place apart and search the Scriptures for yourself. Is He the one? Is this record true? And then open your heart to Him, and that new birth will be yours. He promises that He will not turn away from you if you call out to Him in truth. And you know, we celebrate today the birthday of the King, but we must ever be reminded of the cost. You know, today we don't worship a baby in a manger. We worship a risen, ascended, glorified King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We remember His mean estate. We remember His coming. We praise God and we rejoice together with those who sung His praises when He came. But we today can have access to God the Father through Jesus the Son, who stands and intercedes for you and for me today. And the angels of the Lord came down, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were afraid. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for to behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." This is the good news. This is the gospel. The gospel is a message of good news. It is. There is condemnation for unbelief. But Christ, He wishes that not one should perish, but that all could come and to praise Him and to give Him the honor that's due His name, just as we're doing tonight. And if you're doing that, and in your heart of hearts, you are His, and you are His child tonight, I don't have to preach about the great joy that you have in knowing Him. Rekindle your hearts, friends, if you know Him. You know, I come to these hymns and I'm amazed at the gravity of the words. You know, incredible. Not just tunes we remember, but incredible power, saving grace through the one who came, who was born to die. We remember today the birthday of a King. In Luke 2:13, we read, "Suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.'" Goodwill. It's a message of goodwill tonight, friend. The gospel of peace, of goodwill. Turn to Him today. believe in Christ. Well, we are going to sing further on that account of this very Christ, of this living one. And he left his throne. He left that place, the bosom of the Father. And he came to you and to me, and he comes tonight, and his word speaks to you and to me.